This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Adjacent. You're listening to the Sports Adjacent.
Okay, I like that. I just learned something new today. Adjacent.
With Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey on the House of L Network.
We're doing everything I dreamed of as an adjacent.
What's up, Russ?
Hello.
You look like you're fresh from the gym.
I am, yeah. I didn't have time to hit the old shower before I did the pod, so we're here now in all of our ripeness.
Well, no one would know that if you didn't say it. You look...
Well, I mean, I know. Like, I like to be well-kept and clean, and I feel like I just put in a hard lift. So, now you know.
You know how, like, when someone describes somebody's smell as offensive, it's an offensive smell?
Mm-hmm.
That's literal for me. I am offended by somebody not smelling good around me.
See? Really? Like, how dare you?
I'm offended by myself if I don't smell good. When I don't smell good, it bothers me more than it could possibly bother anybody else.
I'm with you because I've been in some situations recently where you're in close quarters and I'm like, oh, y'all stank.
Yes.
Like there are literally people out here and it ain't a... It's not like I know people say, oh, culturally. No, it's just like people that should know better. And then you catch a whiff of like, ooh, my man.
Like, yeah, I'm talking about media scrums. We're about to
hit
BO season on the football beat where we got. Why are you laughing so much, Tone?
Because Tone been in them scrums.
When you owe it to people. You owe it to people. You owe it to the people around you to smell good.
I maybe
take it too far. I am meticulous about making sure I smell good. I don't even like if people joke about that I don't smell good because I know that's not true. I always smell good. But it bothers me. We get into OTAs. We're out there in practices, watching practices in May and June. Then we come back for training camp in late July and August, and it's hot-ish. It's Chicago's version of hot, and it's humid. And you owe it to everyone else to smell good. You can't be in a media scrum like smelling like you haven't taken a shower in 3 days.
I gave myself a rule. It's like, I'm not going to, you know, make it a thing or complain about it if I'm not going to tell the person directly. So I'm like, hey, if that's how they're getting down right now,
maybe they got some underlying issues
that I don't know about.
Oh, hell no. What underlying issues do you have with Funk?
Stuff, man. Stuff happens, man. People.
What is stuff? Like, what condition is there where you smell like wide open ass?
I'm not a medical expert, but, you know, it could be,
see,
could be things.
I feel like you just made that up.
It could be things. I'm trying to give people the benefit of the doubt because I don't think anybody wants to smell bad. It just kind of... You know, happen. I don't think the goal is to smell bad.
People I give the out of smelling funky sometime is kids, because kids run around and they're playing and they're not always aware.
I mean, the homeless.
I'm talking about
people
people who live and work where we live and work is what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I'll start with all that.
Because here's my thing, Tone. Mm-hmm. Especially when you know you're going to be around. You have to have the self-awareness. Like, don't give me that I don't smell myself. That's bullshit.
Nobody if you smell doesn't
like,
know.
If you smell like wide open ass, you know you smell like wide open ass.
You rode in the car with you to get here.
That's what I'm saying. And like, I'm so, I'm like Jason, now. I'm so.
Could be a sign of depression. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm so conscious of it. Like, I know I don't have that issue, but I keep a little deodorant in the car. I keep a little deodorant in my backpack. I keep a little deodorant in my little locker at like MLB Network. Cause you never know. You just have that one off day was like, I forgot. I forgot this morning. And it'd be like that sometimes where you're just like, oh damn, I was running. And so I don't ever want it to be like, you know who really smell bad? Russ. Like, I'll be damn. Keep a little, some baby wipes. I got baby wipes in the car. Like, I just think it is part of being an adult is grooming and washing your ass. Like, that's part of it.
I was about to say that I might take it a little too far. I might be a little too crazy on this because I keep a spare stick of deodorant in the car just in case.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel so seen and heard and properly sniffed by you right now.
That's why we're friends. Like, we don't play. Like, and here's the other thing with the scrums, Tone, with the whole, well, if I'm not gonna say nothing, I can't say nothing in my head. No, because sometimes you don't know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not me. I know that one of y'all smell like this.
I can't be out here running an investigation, being a detective.
Right. Like, if there
who smells like onions.
There's 10 arms out between reporters and like camera people, and I do usually think it's the camera people. I don't think it's like people on the beat. Camera people.
I don't know, man.
Well, I'm not on any of the beats I've been on. Like,
let's start our own beef. Let's go. Name drops. Let's go.
This isn't. I don't think it's anybody on the baseball beats. I do think it's camera people sometimes, or unlike other beats in other teams. Nobody in this city.
We used to have 10 years ago or more when I covered University of Florida, and picture where that is in the country. That's that's not even Miami. That's Gainesville. That is hot. There is no breeze.
Humid.
You're 100 miles from any, you know, ocean or anything like that. You're not getting any breeze there. And you're talking college football training camp. And there was this one guy who he was older, but not so old that he'd be just oblivious to things like this. Not that old, not, you know, to that level. And he always, I don't know if he's ever heard of deodorant, always smelled bad. Always. It was strong. You know, there's a difference. There's kind of that, you know, base layer smell. But then there's that real sharp smell. It was always that real sharp smell. And there was times where we'd be having media access and he would come to it from a run. He would come to it in these little running shorts and this little running shirt, drenched in sweat. It's like, I can't even stand next to this guy. Yeah, I need about 2 yards of separation. You know what else?
Some people think that deodorant gives you cancer because of the aluminum that is in most deodorants.
They make plenty of aluminum free. It says it right on there, aluminum free.
Some of y'all need the aluminum. Some of y'all need the aluminum for sure. I don't care what it gives you. You need the aluminum.
I do love all the deodorants that you can get at Whole Foods or wherever else.
No, like, this is none organic. Of that stuff like, works.
Bro, you know what organic means in deodorant? It means doesn't work.
Stank. It
means, this is made out of tree bark and some maple leaves.
You don't believe there's like natural things out there in the world
that
make people smell better or you know, have an overall healthier life?
No.
No.
What?
No.
You don't think that there's nothing
not that makes you smell better.
Natural things in the earth that can make you smell good.
I think because Tone's doing the thing with Gertie. He know what the fuck we talking about, but he playing games. I think there are definitely things that I think diet is a big part of that. Like, I think if you eating raw onions and garlic and all that stuff, that's what you're going to smell like. Like, I eat very clean, and I think that helps with my smell, but I also go out of my way to smell good. But like, I'm not gonna act like, oh, if I just ate berries, I'm not gonna be funky. Like, no, I don't think that's true at all. Like, you might have a more pleasant scent than if you was just eating junk food and processed food and all that, where you could smell the the swine coming out of your pores. But it's just like, at you still need that late, that thin layer of protection, because your glands don't really give a damn about aluminum outside of the, yeah, if you believe in all that, whatever gives you cancer, whatever. But it's like, sometimes your body is just going to have natural odors, and your natural odor might not smell good to me. Probably doesn't. Most people. So like, I'm not saying you eating healthy don't help with your smell, but it ain't going to help enough for you to just be walking around with no deodorant on.
Are you talking about eating healthier and that's going to solve this? Or are you talking about, you know, cracking open a coconut and rubbing it under your armpits?
Like a mixture of, like, you know, lavender, aloe.
I'm just going to stick some lavender in there. That might work if you keep it there. You get a bushel of lavender and just keep it there all day.
Tone, are you doing any of that?
No, he's not.
Are you putting elderberry under your armpits?
No, Russ. Aloe. You know, no, I'll answer for him. No, he's not. And you know why? Because I hug this guy every time I see him and he smells good. That's how I know he's wearing regular store-bought deodorant, like a normal person.
He want to fight Tone, because he be coming in here playing the contrarian game. He know damn well he don't want to smell people.
Speaking of diet and natural things, I have never been more interested in poop than I am now, because I have a baby and we have to constantly be like aware of what's coming out to make sure things are going well. So now I'm like locked in now on baby poop, because I need to know if everything is going okay. So that's kind of the phase that I'm in right now in childcare.
I don't know where to go.
Thank you for the update.
Like that's all great, Tone. Don't really know what I can give you on that.
He just turned his mic off to laugh. You can laugh on the mic. It's fine. I can see how happy you are with yourself.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, thank you guys for having me back on the show. Appreciate it. I'm just letting you guys know where I'm at in life right now. You know, we're giving her solids, you know, now. So now I have to be more aware of what's coming out. Is anything bothering her? Is it difficult for her, you know, to push out? Like, I never thought that I'd be, like, as locked in on that phase of life for a child than I am now. But, hey, here we are.
Just the way you're describing it is odd, because I don't know if Russ would know about this or not know about this. Maybe he does. But I've had kids, and that what you're describing is a very basic, obvious part of taking care of an infant. You have to watch for issues with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, nobody tells you that.
That's not special or remarkable, but you come in with, I've been super interested in poop lately, guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, thousands. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta make sure she's doing well, doing all right. So
you
far,
make it sound like you've got a microscope out and you've got little tools, like an archaeologist looking. I mean, really what you're doing is just normal parenting of an infant.
Yeah.
You know that.
I mean, nobody tells you this. It's not in the book. You know,
the doctors tell you this. Everyone tells you this.
So,
what do you mean no one tells you this?
And your mother-in-law's a nurse.
Just letting people know. So,
Tony, literally 50 people probably told you this. Other parents, doctors, your mother-in-law.
Jason, you know what this is. This is Tone finding out about something in life where he feels like he's the first person to ever. He was the first person to fall in love.
Ever to fall in love.
He's the first person in the history of the world to fall in love.
He's out here as a pioneer.
Guys, I don't know what the fuck y'all been doing, but this love thing. Yeah. Oh, have you had somebody that loved you unconditionally?
Can you picture him lecturing me, like, you know, teaching me about, like, hey, Jason, someday I'll help you find this.
Like, hey, man, one day you and Ashley gonna stop shacking up and, like, actually be in love.
Tone, how old were you in 2006?
Shacking up is hilarious. I love shacking up. That is funny.
You love all the old people terms for this. Yes, how old were you in 2006 when I got married?
I was in the seventh grade.
And you're coming here like, Jason, one day I hope you experience something like this.
He's telling the father of two, one day when you have a kid, let me tell you, this poop, you're going to be fascinated.
Someday when you have what I have.
Like, the two kids that you have don't count. But when you have the third... What? Oh, Tone.
Tone's in the poop era. Yeah, glad to have you back, Tone. Let's start the show. Welcome to Sports Adjacent. I'm Jason Leisure with my co-host, Russ Dorsey.
Hello.
And as you've already heard and been exposed to, Tony Gill, the littest producer in the game, is back. How'd you have time for this on a Wednesday, Tone, between all your jobs and, you know, being the only person in the world raising a baby?
Hey, sometimes
and being in love.
Everything
in love. I mean, geez, yeah.
Yeah, everything falls in line. You know,
how do you have an hour free from being in love? If you're that in love, you probably
it's almost exactly an hour. Almost exactly an hour. So, yeah, there we go.
Tony Gill, the love guru, the expert on child raising, is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles. You can go to our link, sheetsgiggles.com/SA. Take advantage of all the sales they got going on. I'm sure they got a Mother's Day sale coming up. Take care of your mom on Mother's Day. Get something nice. And you can get an extra discount using our link, sheetsgiggles.com/SA. It's perfect time to get the sheet set. This is the time of year for that. You want it on your bed. I've had it on my bed. It's been warm lately in Chicago, which is nice. I'm sure it's warmer even in other parts of the country, Texas, Florida, wherever else we have people listening. And the sheet set is what you want for summertime, especially. Keeps you cool. Sports Jason is also brought to you by BetMGM. You can go to BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app and get this offer with promo code ADJACENT1000. Your first bet with BetMGM gets paid back in free future betting credits up to $1,500. If you don't win, just use promo code ADJACENT1000. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Tone, do you have any other revelations, anything you want to share with us that you just couldn't believe and no one ever told you and maybe you're the first person ever to experience in raising a child?
Yeah, I try to keep a running list like in my notes app of all the stuff that helps in soothing Anaya. So I kind of run down the list. Okay, is she hungry? Is she sleepy? Is there poop? Is there pee? Mm-hmm. Is something hurting her? And lately that list has been growing. I thought I had the top, you know, at least five down, just kind of run through the list. But when none of those work, I was just completely lost. And then you just kind of work something out. Sometimes she doesn't want to be bothered. Sometimes she wants to be put down and played. Sometimes she wants to, I don't want to be held horizontally. I want to be held the other way. Like, just very specific things that I think babies are very bougie. Very, very bougie.
Okay.
That's something that I've kind of, all that to say, yeah, babies are bougie.
Well, they are because we enable that. You let this six-month-old or however old your baby, how old is Anaya?
6 months.
Yeah, you let this six-month-old run your life.
Yeah.
They cry and you say how high, like you jump right on it.
That is exactly what's going on.
So if I'm understanding right, your new thing is paying attention to when she cries and figuring out why.
Yes, because sometimes when like I run through the list and I just look at her, I hold her up and we look at each other in the faces and we just try and like, okay, what is going on? Why are you crying? Let's figure this out. To help me help you. And usually that works. Usually something comes up, pops up in my brain to help. But yeah, that's kind of my life right now. She kind of dictates everything, which I'm totally fine with.
Are you imagining her talking to you? You're hearing that in your head, and you're like, "Give me those prunes, big dog."
yeah. A lot of times it has to do something with some type of food that she saw, because now she's eating solid. She's like, "Give me some of those pears, big dog." I know you steamed and pureed those apples a few hours ago. Bring it out. Bring it out. You understand me?
Really? You're making baby food, huh?
Yeah.
No, I never cared about my kids enough to do that.
That's why Tone's on this holistic thing. He's like, nah, man, God put this here for me and you.
No, I never loved my kids enough to do that. We're buying those little jars of Gerber.
Gerber babies.
About $1 a piece.
Yeah, we give her pouches. When we go out, we give her pouches. She's got pouches and stuff, blueberry, apple puree, stuff like that. Man, man, she chews up.
Just like her daddy.
Yo, like... I was like, where's it all go? You're not even 13 pounds.
Like her where daddy. Does it all
go? Chew, Tony, are you going to be one yum, of... Yum. Are you going to be one of those parents that lets their kid be a picky eater? Or is it going to be... With my kids, when they get old enough to eat all food, it's like you're eating what everyone else is eating. We're not all having salmon or pasta or whatever, and we're giving you hot dog and chicken nuggets. What are you going to do with that?
In the community, once you are of age to eat food, it's whatever mama and daddy prepare. And if you don't like it, there's some cereal or you're going to go to sleeps. So that's kind of how I was raised. Whatever was
cooked, was clearly raised by Richard Williams.
That is not completely how you were raised, though.
I mean, that was 99% of the time.
There was still very recently, even when you were in your 20s, there was the families having this, and then there's the Lulu version that they made.
Yeah, that's just my mom being nice, though. Like, I'm not a fan of spicy, and she makes a spicy lasagna that is the family favorite, but she knows I'm not a fan of spicy, so she'll put separate a little bit of the lasagna and make it not spicy. But the point is, we're having lasagna. If I was like, I don't like lasagna, I'm like, well, you're going to eat this lasagna or you're going to go to sleeps. So that's kind of how I was, and that's kind of how I want to raise children in my household. You'd be grateful that we got foods. And your mom love you enough to make the foods, and you're going to have to chew this up. Otherwise, you're going to be going to bed hungry. And that's kind of, that's how you show respect.
You already sound angry. It hasn't happened yet.
I know. I'm just getting prepared. I'm always mentally getting prepared for that conversation when it ultimately happens. So it doesn't catch me off guard.
I did very seamlessly and naturally. I didn't even think about it. It just came right out. Asked one of my kids the other day if they thought I was Boo Boo the Fool. It was just the right time, right scenario. I knew they were trying to pull one on me, and I just blurted it right out.
All right, let's go dive deeper into this. Like, you set up the situation.
I can't even remember exactly what it was, but what it typically is I tell one of them, you need to go to your room and you need to do this, and this. You need to put this away, get dressed, and, take care of whatever. And 35 minutes has gone by and I don't see him still. And I don't hear anything going. I don't hear shuffling and drawers opening and closing. So I go down in there and knock on the door and open up. And sure enough, somebody just jumps up and, sticks the iPad under a pillow. Like, what were you doing in here? I was just thinking about where I was going to put these clothes. You think I'm Boo Boo the Fool?
Great job, Jason. Excellent.
Yeah, round of applause. Yes. I love it. I haven't
thought about that since whenever we talked about it, but it just came right out so naturally.
That's in your subconscious. You'd be like, I can't wait for one of these girls to act up. waiting.
That's what happens. Learn a new phrase or a new word and you just want to force it in. You want to use it. And no, you have to wait. You have to wait till it comes, at the right time, till it comes out organically like that.
I feel like all parents of all the communities of the world have the same thoughts.
Everyone has some version of that.
Yeah, they just verbalize. I think the Black community has kind of cornered the space of
the market,
making it sound cool and funny and, entertaining. But yeah, all parents have that thought. Like, if it was... Like, what's your version of, Jason, of do I look like Boo Boo the Fool?
I always tell them, sorry you don't have dumber parents. That's pretty much something like that is usually what I say. Yeah, it's the same thing.
I'd peg Jason as a I wasn't born last night guy.
I was born that night, not last night.
The thing that we have is my kids are so much more intelligent than I do. And they've always been just really intelligent kids. And I'm not really like that. I cover football for a living. You don't have to have a special degree for that. But I am pretty savvy and keyed into what's going on. I'm, aware of my surroundings. I understand people. I understand when I'm getting worked. I always say that to him. I always tell him, like, I feel like you're trying to work me here, and I know what's going on here. And I'm sorry you don't have dumber parents, but I know exactly what this is.
Oh, man, that's great. See,
like, now I can't teach him math. I can't do Grace, especially he's in seventh grade. I can't do seventh grade math. Are you kidding me?
And the math,
but I know when I'm being lied to.
Mm-hmm. You've graduated now, pulling out. You think I'm Booboo the Fool? Like, that's great. Like, I'm so proud of you. Thank you. Now we got to get you to the second course, the 201. You've passed 101. Now we got to get you to 201, where this one, I don't know if Tone's even heard it. It's very Southern. Is, oh, you must not think fat meat's greasy.
What? What? Say it again for me. I have not heard this ever.
You must not think fat meat's greasy.
Fat meat's greasy.
Yes, but you put the.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
So, right. Like, it's a parent's way of saying, oh, you think I'm playing.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you must not think fat meat's greasy. I will throw you around this room. Like, that's a sentence I've heard my friend's parents say to
you. You got to be prepared with the threat after, though.
The threat comes after. Yeah, oh, you must not think fat meat's greasy. Blah, 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 blah. Something painful usually comes.
Yeah.
Okay. Usually follows.
Yeah.
My wife's family is from the South, and you know, we've been together for a long time. So at the time we were first dating, she had a brother. Her brother, I think, was 10 or something at the time. And so I would see some actual parenting when I was down there with her dad and her younger brother. And it was mostly just, you know, shut up or I'll kick your ass right here. Pretty much that.
It's one way to do it.
Whether you're at home or in the parking lot or, you know, at the mechanic, that was pretty much a way to solve things.
Shut up or I'll kick your ass right now. It's wild.
That only works till they're big enough to do it back.
Nah, I'll kick your ass, Dad.
Then you got problems. Then you got problems.
You're like, well, he might.
That's why you gotta always be on point as a dad, as a father. Like, no matter how old they get, like, there's football players that are super scared of their dads, and they are like 3 times. And I think God blesses fathers, active fathers, to put the paws on their kid just in case, or the threat of, or the fear of, just in case something gets crazy, you know.
There's this internal will, and it's the same when you're the oldest brother too.
Yeah.
Like, my brother is 3 years younger than me, and probably twice the athlete I am. Mm-hmm. But I would never let him be. It would not happen. Oh, he could not beat me in anything. Mm-hmm. It would not happen.
It's like
I could dust off this whole arm right here and go strike him out right now. No problem.
Yeah. Like, Russ, would you think of challenging your brother to fisticuffs?
Right now or always?
It's always.
Yeah, always. Like, I don't care when he was bigger. And then my growth spurt came, and then I got swole. It was just like, you don't want these problems. So he doesn't want those problems. But like, my dad was older, so we didn't have those, oh, I'm a challenge my dad. Like, I always knew, like, I got the athletic advantage on my dad. And there was one time where I'm like, I should have not done that. Like, why did I do that to my dad? We're at the gym.
Did you hurt him?
Well, he almost hurt him. But I'm shooting around. And, like, I'm not even, like, I wasn't, like, tone where all area and all that. So I'm shooting around. And, like, my dad comes out to try to guard me. And I literally just give him one of these.
Just one crossover.
On the ground. And I said, why did I do that to my dad? Like, I felt bad. And from that point on, I couldn't do that to.
When could you guys beat your dad at basketball?
I mean, once I got to, like, I'm saying, like, my dad was older. So, like, by the time I got to hooping age, he, like, that's not even his, his bag no more. Like, he was going to give that up. Like, he's like, ah, you got it. Like, he was at that. You got it. Like, by the time I was 13, my dad was in his 50s. So it's just like, I'm not trying to hoop with my 13-year-old son.
Right.
Like, he got it. Which is cool. Like, I wouldn't even want to challenge my dad like that.
Mm-hmm.
It would have had to have been around that time for me too. And not that I was ever good, but I could shoot. And about that age, I could shoot. About like middle school, I could shoot really well. Because other than that, before that, I'm short. And so my dad isn't. My dad is probably, you know, close to 6 foot tall, maybe like 5'11 or something like that. My dad could just stand on there and block me like Mutombo anytime I wanted to do anything. But once I could actually shoot, once I could shoot threes pretty well, then I would have been beating him at basketball.
Like, I don't have that time, and like some dudes have it where like, I'm gonna fight my dad. Like, that was never even, that wasn't a thing. But reasons like that. I've always thought that was weird. Like, why do
I mean, if you got a good dad, right? There's no reason to fight him.
Like, we don't have
these very specific situations where your dad may not be a good dad or a good person to your mom.
Or you're not a good son. Like, let's keep it a buck. Like, that happens too.
That's fair. But
sometimes you need some straightening.
In the off chance where a child needs to challenge their parents to a physical altercation and the child is in the right in a very specific situation of like abuse and stuff like that. Like, I think it flips. Where I think the child does have the power to, okay, let me change some things around here. But typically, in a typical situations, if there's a, you know, a solid father in place, where I don't think it warrants.
This is what I think it is sometimes, because I think there's kids who come from good homes. They're just like, I'm gonna challenge my dad. It's usually when like the dad is still in his time in life where he still got some athletic ability, some strength, and son gets to that point where it's like, I've been lifting a little bit, I can yoke my dad up. And dad has to show young boy, you don't want these problems, bro.
All right, you should live in my house, you understand me?
Right, but like, I've just always thought, like, why you want to run the fade with your dad? It's crazy. Like, dad, you going to take it outside one time, going 30 with your pops? Like, that's crazy.
I had my version of that was not, it was more verbal. And I remember when I was 18 and I was going off to college, or I was going to be going off to college in New Orleans. And I don't even remember how we got here. It was some verbal conflict I was having with my dad. And I said something like, once I go, I am never coming back here. And he just looks back at me and he's like, you're going to do what? Where are you going to go? And I was like, well, I'm never coming back here. And then I walked away and I was like,
damn,
where am I? What am I going to do?
I don't know where I'm going.
If this doesn't work out and I have to like drop out.
I didn't play the scenario past that moment.
I actually may need to come back here. I'm going to have to try to smooth this out later. In our house right now, our parenting styles are, I consider myself to be good with kids and understanding of kids. And like conscientious of kids in general, not just my kids. And I let my kids win at things. Not all the time, but I don't want us to be playing. This isn't really sports, but if we're playing cards or a game or something, even video games, I don't want them to just lose all the time. That's not fun. I want my brother to lose to me all the time and not have fun, but I don't want my kids to lose all the time. But my wife, Ashley will not have that. Ashley is hyper competitive and she will never let them win. And she will never just hand it to them. They will win sometimes in a card game or whatever, but she will never let them win. And she says, just like what I would imagine, you know, your dad would say, Tone, is I want it to mean something to them when they actually beat me.
Yeah. Like, it was like, I never fought my dad. My dad never got to that level. I love my dad. But like basketball, it took me a little while because my dad could play. So it took me a minute he had me kind of young. So he was still like going out to some open gym.
He was still doing runs. Yeah,
he was still playing. So
if you're 12 and your dad is, I don't know, 32 or 35 or something like that, he could still be really good at that point. Yeah.
So I beat my dad for the first time. We were actually in Florida. on a vacation and on a resort, and they had a basketball court, and I was in that phase. I'm like, I'm going to the league, so I need to practice. Ain't no vacations out here. So they had a basketball court. I would go out there every morning, every day. And my dad was like, all right, it's about time. You haven't played me one-on-one in a while. Let's go. And I'm like, okay, bet. So I eventually beat him. He took it fairly well. I think he was proud that I finally got that one over him, but he wasn't ever going to let me win, ever, even as a baby. Everything was getting sent over the fence in terms of blocking. Like, I was getting crossed up. I remember one time he played me and my brother together, me and William. We were like maybe 11. And he crossed us up so bad, he made us run into each other.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, like, it took me a while to kind of figure out how do I beat this old man. But once I figured it out, it was all gravy. And it's nothing like getting that confidence, right? You get over the hill of, you know, your first kind of, I don't even know what you call it, the boss level of your life in terms of this sport. And it's like, man, I could beat the whole game. I can do this. And it's certain a confidence level. And that confidence translates to other stuff. Like, man, I beat my dad at basketball one time. I could write this speech, or I can do this job, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And that's all it ultimately is giving confidence to the next generation that they can go on and do things.
I beat my dad in basketball. I can go to the league. Well, your dad's not LeBron, but like, at least you believe in yourself.
All right.
See, because of the stuff that we do in our house, my kids aren't really into sports and stuff. It's not going to be like that. It's stuff that my wife is going to be able to do for the next 20 years. These kids are going to be 45 years old and be like, I still haven't beat my mom in Uno or whatever.
Be in therapy. Like, yeah, my mom was like, she just gets so excited when she beats us. And I just internally, like, what does this mean? They'll be laying on the couch somewhere in shambles because Ashley gets that draw forward, Uno, slamming that joint down on the table. Like, yeah, take that. Yeah,
take that.
Crying.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, it's finally time to talk about Kendrick and Drake. This is great. This is exactly the place for this forum. And I read an article about this on NPR this morning, so I'm caught up.
Disgusting.
It's on brand.
Like, hearing about rat beef on NPR is sick. That's not
I didn't hear about it on NPR, but I read about it on NPR.
That's sick. Like, what is really should be the education for you? Just go to Twitter and type in Kendrick Lamar
and just look through the comments.
Let the streets teach you about what's going on.
Okay.
Going to NPR is like trying to figure out about African-American history and going to like, yeah, NPR. Like, why are the blacks upset in America?
That's not what I Googled.
What's rousing up all these colors?
All the blacks. Hey, black, what's going on with you?
Well, this was brought to my attention on Twitter because one of our listeners, whose Twitter handle is the Black Jon Snow, was commenting, replying to a tweet that you had, saying, I can't wait for Russ and Tony to explain this to Jason. So I'm in this weird space where everybody probably wants to hear me be taught about this, but I don't want to come in completely blind. So I have to find my research has to be right in that sweet spot of where I loosely understand this, but not completely. You know what I mean?
You want me to go first?
Reading an NPR article was perfect. And I listened to the two things. Listened to the Euphoria
push-ups
that came out
and
Tuesday.
Then Euphoria.
Was it push? What was the one where you had AI Tupac and AI Snoop?
That was the pre. That was the first
Grover Medley or something.
That was the one
I listened to.
All right, so the most recent jab from Drake was push-ups.
Haven't heard it.
And then
Taylor Made Freestyle.
Taylor Made Freestyle
was the one. Yeah, that was the one I listened to. That and I listened to Euphoria and I read an NPR article. And now I'm coming to you for, like, help me fill in the blanks.
All right. So big picture, as we talked about from the future Kendrick, when the Kendrick verse first came out about a month and a half ago, Kendrick does not like Drake. And this record was purely like, if you didn't know, I hate this dude. And it ain't just rap. Like he said, I don't like the way you walk. I don't like the way you dress. I don't like the girls you have sex with. I don't like you saying the N-word, even though you're black.
He had some things in there about his kid coming out your mouth. He went after him about raising his kid.
He said, you don't know nothing about raising your kid. And then he was just like, you trying to push me. You didn't want to push T. That's a callback to the Pusha T.
I know about Pusha T's involvement. Yeah, I know.
There you go. And so
he's on the Drake side of this, right?
Well, anything? No. He shot at Drake. Like he battled Drake four or five years ago, and defeated Drake.
Sorry. Let me get that correct in my notes here.
But so that was the first time somebody had like took down the quote unquote the big dog, and so then Drake beat Meek Mill. If we're just trying to keep a list of the beefs with Drake. Over the years.
I actually am keeping a list. I think and then, writing these down, taking notes on this legal pad during this is on brand for me as well.
Yes. And then you had Kendrick come out and say, this isn't just about who's number one. This is about me saying, I don't respect you as a man, which is way harder in terms of rap beef. And this is the other reason why listening to this, you can definitely hear that there was a conversation had after First Person Shooter and after Cole's diss and after the apology where there was a conversation between Cole and Kendrick where I think Kendrick was like, hey, you are my man, but you need to move the hell out of the way because I hate this dude and it's going to get personal. So I advise you move. And Cole's like, you got it, bro. My bad. And honestly, think about it now. Like, listen to what these dudes are saying. I'm cool with Cole saying, I thought this was going to be some friendly smoke between homies. I didn't know y'all was just like, oh, I hate your wife and you're a bad dad. Like,
he should have said that. Yeah, well, one, don't. If you about, you know, whatever Cole is on right now, before you make, you know, your version of a diss track, like, go get a clear understanding from Kendrick about that verse.
Like, yo, are you shooting at me or are you shooting at bro?
Right, like, what's going on? Hey, this is a friendly competition.
Definitely said, yo, I'm shooting at bro, so relax. Right.
Like, get a clear understanding before you know, if that's how you move, don't send the diss track, then regret the diss track because you know what's coming.
Facts.
Right? Like, it's, and then when you announce that you were backing out, you were like, hey, I thought this was just about rapping and stuff. There's something coming where I don't want to get involved because this is not what I thought it was. And I think
J. Cole, people, you're saying.
Yeah, J. Cole.
I J. Cole would have something like his heart wasn't in it.
Yeah, like
it sounded like he was told to have your heart not be in this.
Yeah.
Like, which is like fair because it's like, bro, but you're just doing this for like music. I think Kendrick is, and you can even kind of hear it in the Euphoria because he didn't shoot it, Cole, really. Right? He said Cole's name one time. He said Cole's name one time in the They Know I'm Not Playing about the top spot, heavy is the head, wears the crown, all that.
Oh, he said they were hugging and kissing and stuff.
Right. That was just like, hey, y'all hugging and kissing on stage, relax. But after that, it like all the 99.9% of the smoke was for Drake.
Yeah.
When Kendrick refers to the big three, this idea of the big three, is he referring to him and Drake and J. Cole?
Yes.
And so then, and then Jake, the last, so, and he's basically telling J. Cole, like, you're not in, you stay out. This is
over the last 5 years, it has been, all right, the big three and then everybody else amongst rappers. It was Cole, Kendrick, Drake.
And where's Macklemore on the list? Where does he fall?
He doesn't get to look at the list.
He's not even on the list.
He doesn't even get to look at the list.
Got it.
And so over the last couple of years, it's gone back and forth of, all right, it's Drake's turn. Oh, Kendrick just dropped. He's number one. And then for like the last 2 years, it's been Cole because Cole's been ripping every feature, killing people, and like braggadocious of, I'm the best of the, don't get it twisted. And then he bowed out and it's like, yeah, you don't get to be in the big three no more because real rappers wouldn't have done that, which sucks because I'm a big time Cole fan. But I also in agreement, like, bro, you can't, like, it tarnishes you when you do that in front of the world. So it's probably the big two and then Cole's underneath that.
I thought that Kendrick Lamar was considered the best. I thought Jay-Z was considered the best of all time. If I have any of this wrong, please tell me.
It's considered by many.
And then like kind of like Jordan. And Kendrick Lamar is like LeBron right now trying to match that or exceed that legacy.
I think you're right about the Hove part of it where people think Jay-Z is, many consider him to be the best rapper all time, career, legacy, all that. And now he's gone off in the sunset and every time feels like rapping every 8-12 months, he'll drop a verse. But now with these dudes, no, it is not a consensus of Kendrick. It is often back and forth over the last couple of years of it's Drake, it's Kendrick, it's Cole. And Kendrick had been so quiet, it's kind of like, well, it can't be Kendrick because he ain't even been rapping. Like, he's been in the house. Yeah. He ain't even been outside. Drake is just like, bro, I'm on tour. I'm dropping hits. The girls listen to me. The thugs listen. The hard dudes in the street listening to me. Like, you can't deny it. And I'm up there selling more records than Michael Jackson. Like, it's me. And Cole is just like, I rap better than everybody. Like, yeah, I don't care about none of that pop and the charts and what the girls. I am the best lyricist of anybody in the game right now. I'm the best rapper. So that's why there's this back and forth. And Kendrick, like, they call him the boogeyman for a reason. Like, that's like his nickname. It's like, you better not say the boogeyman's name because he'll come outside. And so in this, he dropped like that. Then Drake shot back. And then he got baited because he shot back again before Kendrick said anything. Kind of like, ooh, come out the house. Like, you said you want to rap. Like, I'm here. And he shot twice. And then Kendrick didn't drop. And then like a week went past in another couple of days and they'd be like, oh man, Kendrick's just gonna, and then he dropped on a Tuesday in the morning, just, and 6 minute, like a 6 minute diss is just like, I hate you for 6 minutes. Like, this ain't no 2 minute, 30 second song. This isn't a 3 minute song. This is pure hate for 6 minutes and 20 seconds.
I've been seeing that people, they're saying like, oh, you know, these diss tracks, they're cool. You know, 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10, stuff like that. And I'm like, there's nothing wrong with the verses. The verses are actually, the songs are good. It's just people, they don't have the fear factor in this as in other beefs, famous rap beefs. The fear of death or physical harm isn't present in this rap beef.
I actually
and
like
that's
that
what
better.
People are missing as a part of this. The songs are actually good. The rapping is actually great. But with all for we're so used to that threat, ever present threat of I'm going to see you one day and then it's up, that we don't allow for artistic competition truly to happen and recognize it and appreciate it. And that's what I think was going to happen with this beef, is because people are going to be looking for an ultimate conclusion of, well, whoever won is the person that beat the other person up. And I'm like, no. Like, it doesn't have to be that.
And I you're right, Tone, in the flagrant nature of former rap beats, where you had Tupac tell Biggie that I had sex with your wife. Like, that's wild. But here's the thing, Tone. I do think we're getting to that point where it's been, all right, I punch you. And then Drake is like, I'm going to punch you twice. And then Kendrick's like, no, I'm going to give you the hook joint. And now I think dudes are going to start getting flagrant. Because both of them in all their verses are just like, yo, I have more. Like, you, Kendrick even said, stop lying on me or I'm going to start telling truth about you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that's him saying, yo, I got the big joker. And Drake said in Push-Ups, like, no, I got the big joker. So I think, and they've already gotten personal. So I think this goes to a level where, like, they're going to start getting flagrant. And Kendrick, because people think Kendrick is on this earthy, you know, I'm centered with myself, similar to Cole. And he's like, no. I could, if you want to take it to the mud, I'll go to the mud with you. That's how much I hate you. He even said, look, you got beef with Pharrell, and I didn't like that, so I'll inherit that beef.
I didn't even know anybody had beef with Pharrell. I thought Pharrell was universally likable.
Not the Drakey one.
Wow. Can I make an extremely outdated and white analogy to the situation and see if you think it's correct?
I have to, all right.
You sound so
excited. I want to say no, but
okay, then I won't. No.
Go ahead, do it.
Is Kendrick and Jake and Drake a little bit like Leno and Letterman back in the day, where Leno was more popular, but Letterman was more highly regarded?
Yeah, that's fair.
I actually think that's a pretty good comp. Good job.
Hey, all right. See, I'm following along.
Drake is very much, I have all the number ones. I'm the billionaire. All the girls love me. I'm making hit after hit after hit for the last, since I was 19 years old. Like, stop playing with me. And Kendrick on this verse was just like, oh, you think because you got money, you not corny? What? You're a doof. You're a goofball. And even though you got money, you're a rich goofball. Like, what do you think that means? That don't mean nothing to me.
Now, with the weird thing about it, about Kendrick's angle, which I think is kind of self-defeating, and I'm interested to see how it progresses, because as of right now, essentially his entire, if I had to pick like a theme, the ethos of the diss track was, I'm a better, more moral man than you. And I'm like, that's a stretch. I mean, it's a stretch. Like, I don't, one, overall, like, how can you say you're a better moral man than Drake just because his music might be a bit more shallow at times, where he's more honest about his activities, what he does with his money, his power, you know, his fame and his music. But you just did a track with Future, who does the exact same thing. It's a weird angle of moral grandstanding that I think is interesting. You don't know what Drake is not with his baby mom. So yeah, he's not there to wake him up every day. Right? Like, it's a bit of a weird angle to address the moral sides of things in this beef that I thought was, okay, that's weird.
Well, see, I think it is, to Kendrick, much bigger than the music side of it. Like, I think that is a shot where he's like, yo, you calling yourself the boy, I'm waiting for the man. And I think he's trying to allude to in this, and like even more so in, I'm assuming, what the next diss track is going to be, of like, yo,
he appeals to kids.
Yes, you appeal to kids, and the culture's like, really how the culture feels about you. Mm-hmm. You're not the guy that you think you are. And I'm about to start telling is what, mm-hmm. and that's what I think Kendrick is getting at with coming at his manhood. And I also think there is, why is everybody's not just shooting at you now because it's like, ooh, he in some beef, like he's bleeding. Let's jump him. Like Kendrick's trying to say, this isn't a jumping. This is you getting what you deserve for how you live and how you move. And how you move outside of your family. I don't think Kendrick cares about that. I think Kendrick cares about how the culture feels about you and how you move in these different circles.
Any other question, Jason?
Did that help you, Jason?
No, I'm good. I feel like I'm caught up. I will circle back with you if I need more information.
All right.
All right, let's do the news. And we're starting with baseball. We need to bring in our baseball correspondent, Ross Dersey, for a story about baseball and meat.
Oh, man.
Hey, you.
The Minnesota Twins' latest celebration is touching hitting coach David Popkin's sausage before big innings. And as a baseball reporter, I'm sure you're all over this sausage story, right?
They got sent to my phone, and then I had to talk about it on TV without getting fired. I can send you that clip.
Somebody sent you a sausage on your phone.
Jason, I'll fight you. No. So honestly, I was actually day of recording yesterday, I was in the Twins clubhouse because they just won their ninth straight game since having this summer sausage. And what happens is after they hit a home run, Ryan Jeffers, catcher for the Twins, who's playing really well right now, throws the sausage at the dude who hit the homer, and they catch it. And then people like tap the sausage. And it's become the talk of baseball. But here's the thing, Tone. They've won 9 games in a row as day of this recording. They're playing the White Sox, so it'll probably be 10 games in a row. But yeah.
It's unclear. Now, there are some concerns about food safety with this. And it's, and they are playing in Toronto next week. Mm-hmm. And they are already thinking through some pre-concerns here about whether they're going to be able to get this through customs.
It's the same sausage?
Yes.
Because they don't cook new sausages?
Well, no, it's not.
No,
this is shelf stable.
It's summer sausage. It's like it's shrink wrapped. Yeah. So it's like salami something like that. Like
you can buy the rack at the grocery store. This isn't behind the meat.
This is like bratwurst.
So they got this like uncooked raw meat that they're traveling with.
No, you don't get it. You don't like summer sausages. It's smoked. It has preservatives and all that. Like you can.
When you buy this at the grocery store, it's not on the refrigerator section.
It's like hung up somewhere usually. Mm-hmm. And like you put it with like cheese and crackers or whatever on a charcuterie board. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's like pepperoni.
Yeah, there you go. But there's a key thing in there that Russ said, Tone, about it being shrink-wrapped and sealed. And they are traveling around with this thing. It is wrapped in a sock and stuffed inside a shoe. And their manager, Rocco Baldelli, he likes kind of the spirit of this, but he has some very practical concerns.
And now, Tony Gill reads.
I forgot you were throwing me.
You forgot that I was going to have you do this?
Yeah.
What is the subject line?
I had to pull it up. I had to pull it up.
What does the subject line of the email say, Tony?
Rocco
Baldelli.
Baldelli. I thought it was about like a ball guy or something. I didn't think it was a baseball thing.
No, that's his name.
It's unfortunate.
What does the subject line say?
Reading segment. Rocco Baldelli News.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Okay.
Out of practice.
Yep. No glasses either.
No glasses. I can't.
Seriously. Again.
I need glasses.
He lost them.
So I'm just
losing your glasses wild.
I need to go get
several hundred dollars.
I haven't actually. These are my wife's glasses. I lost my glasses entirely like 2 years ago.
Oh, so Tony Gill Reed's glasses aren't even yours.
They're not.
No, they looked like women's glasses. I thought you knew that.
I thought they were his, and he was just playing the game.
What I don't understand I don't understand this, though, and I think this is kind of what Russ is getting at. If you need glasses and you lost your glasses 2 years ago, how have you functioned for the last 2 years? How do you read something?
I don't need glasses to read.
Okay. What about to drive?
I actually take them off to read. To drive, I do. To watch television, I kind of do.
Okay. So you clearly need these glasses to drive and have been doing so without them for 2 years?
Yeah. Well, my personal set of glasses. Yeah.
Oh, you got good insurance. Like, what are you doing?
I do, man. But I got glasses right next to me. I'm like, I just use those. It takes a lot now to make an appointment to do stuff now.
All right. You are the most inconsiderate driver I've ever heard of.
How?
You park in
handicapped
spaces.
I'm an excellent driver.
You park in handicapped spaces. You're out there driving for the last 2 years not being able to see. I guess people will move out of the way for me, I'm sure.
I'm an excellent driver. That's one thing I take offense. May not be the greatest handicap parker, but other than that, I'm an excellent driver.
You shouldn't be parking in the handicap spaces.
We went over this at length.
All right. Twins manager, Rocco Baldelli. It's bringing us a lot of hits and runs, so I'm all for it. I'm slightly concerned that the package is going to open up. The thing hasn't been refrigerated in many days, and there's no doubt that when that thing opens up, whoever's touching it is in deep trouble.
That part could be problematic, Russ.
Rocco played into the whole thing there because he's great at playing the straight man in the joke. It does have preservatives, so it doesn't have. I don't think anybody will get any foodborne illness. However, he is right. When that thing opens up, you gotta get the new one.
Theoretically, when the thing opens up, you could eat it.
But I was in the Twins clubhouse. It's under like lock and key. Like,
oh, you didn't get.
I got it. Like, you don't just. I wouldn't be touching.
They didn't let you tap the meat.
I don't do that.
You want to hit the meat?
No, I do not. So, but like, they were
your journalists. You got to investigate. You got to get in there, man.
Oh no, journalists are investigating. Journalists on that beat have my man Dan Hayes wrote this long story where he talked to like a butcher and like. Giving a new meaning to the term meat beat. My man Dan Hayes, shout out to my man Dan, Chicago guy, Twins beat reporter, wrote this whole feature about the streak and the sausage and how it started, and he talked to like a butcher about how they even make summer sausage, how long can they keep it for, and the dude was just like, basically, as long as it's not open, couple years.
8 years.
So yeah.
So you hit a home run and you get to touch the meat.
They throw you meat.
Yeah, you touch it before. You touch the meat when you need something. It's like the rally monkeys.
No.
With the Angels years back.
Well, you like hit the homer and the meat that gets touched gets thrown at you.
Yeah, it gets touched like when they need a spark.
Like rally, yeah. Like that is like rally monkey, yes. So and like, then once you homer and the rally has been had and then, throwing sausage at you.
What did he just say about the meat in his mouth? What did you say?
Like, do you catch it like with your hands or with your mouth or what?
Tony.
I'm just trying to picture going on in baseball.
Why? Right now. I don't. It's a packaged sausage, Tone. Well, you're not going to catch something in a package in your mouth.
It's good, too.
Okay. That's how they get down. Like, the reason why I'm kind of skeptical because the Cubs, the championship Cubs, they had like, I don't know, they were doing this thing where they were like tapping meats together or something like that. like they would hit a home run and then they do like this thing and then like, you know, like do a high five with the, you know.
Okay.
Hey, man, I'm not,
you're not talking about a summer sausage anymore.
No, no, no. They would, yeah. There's videos of it on YouTube. Like, okay. I'm like, why are they doing that? Like, why?
I won't be. I won't be searching. Let me tell you that right now.
So yeah, there you go. 2016 championship Cubs.
Russ, you mentioned their last game. It was they're at the White Sox, and I've been a White Sox fan my entire life. And when you pull up any team's schedule on ESPN, they also have a link for each game for buying tickets, and it always says tickets start at whatever. I thought it had to be an error because you're looking at White Sox, and the White Sox are the worst team in the league. I think they're 6-18 or 6-20.
Oh, like. Brother. Yeah.
6-24. You look and it lists their games and it says tickets starting at $3, tickets starting at $5, tickets starting at $8. And you click and you think it's a bait and switch. You click it and it's, oh, those standing room only. No, those are real seats. And you go all the way down the list. I mean, it'd be more expensive to go to a minor league game right now. There was a game, Russ, coming up in May. It said tickets starting at $2.
I was at the game last night and I was looking around at the people in attendance. Now they announced attendance of 11,000 something.
Lana.
I'm with you, Tom. There was nobody in the upper deck. Nor did you need to be. Like, you could definitely just sit in the 100 level field in the lower bowl and get a seat. Like, nobody's gonna come over there. Hey, get y'all asses up these. No, you're good. Go ahead and buy the $2 ticket and go down to the lower bowl.
This is a team in the third biggest city in the country and has been around for over 100 years. And they're more of a joke than the A's right now, who are trying to be a joke.
Yeah, they're actually kind of good.
It's insane.
Is it though?
$2? You could get into a Major League Baseball stadium for $2?
Yeah.
Unless it's a big game, then you're going to pay at least $7.
Correct.
And finally, Russ, a man from Idaho Falls, a 40-year-old man from Idaho Falls, Idaho, was arrested and jailed for getting drunk and allegedly kicking a bison at Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming. This is from the Associated Press. Park rangers at Yellowstone got a call that the man was, quote, harassing a bison herd and kicked one of them. Now, I don't know if that's a great idea because a bison, while that doesn't look the same as a tiger or a lion, it's a 2,000-pound animal. Whatever it wants to do to you, it's probably going to be
anything that weighs a ton, I don't want smoke with.
You're not stopping that thing unless you have, you know, some serious firepower. You're not going to just, like, push that thing aside. So I almost say, you know, maybe the law doesn't have to get involved. Maybe we let the bison handle this the way that they want to handle it, because I think, you know, that would be the punishment fits the crime.
You got to protect the animals. But if something were, our friend Herb Lawrence, he always shares animal news with us and on his social medias, because he deserves, like, he thinks and believes. And I believe too, like, man, just leave the animals alone, man. Leave them alone. They're not doing nothing to nobody.
Why are we getting drunk and going to the park and kicking a buffalo?
And
what are
we doing? If something unfortunate happens to that person, I feel bad that, you know, they were maimed or unalived. But I don't feel too bad, because, like, you messing with them in their crib when they weren't doing nothing to nobody. And it's like, you wanted this. You wanted this to be your story.
Jason, you don't go on your socials, but Tolan's absolutely correct in saying, using the word unalive like he did, because you can get demonetized now for saying, like, killed.
I didn't know
that. Or they'll, like, on TikTok, they'll take your videos down.
Okay.
If you use certain words. So like, for example, on Instagram too, like, you can't say porn, but you can say corn.
Okay. Perfectly acceptable to talk about corn.
And people know, so, like, they say corn star now, or you can type, or you put the emoji corn and then put star, and then you know how to translate it.
Or really?
Somebody got
unalived. You can't even use the corn emoji now without it meaning something.
No.
It's like all my favorite foods. Like, I can't use an eggplant.
Corn, sausage, eggplant.
I can't. Jeez.
Cucumber.
Sausage. Tone, let's just say, Tone, you were feeling wild, and you let's just say you accidentally drank some alcohol like you did that one time, and you were so drunk that you went and kicked a bison. And I present you with these choices. You either let the bison deal with you, however they see fit, or you take your chances in jail. Which are you picking?
That's a good question.
You once told us you would rather be in an enclosure at a zoo with a tiger than go to jail.
Yeah.
They're in there.
How long am I in jail?
That was my question. I was like, what is the stint in jail?
Let's say two nights. You know, the first night they're just kind of getting to know you. The second night, we'll see what happens.
I can guard myself for 2 nights.
I'm with Tone.
Tone, say you're taking 2 nights in jail over dealing with the bison. Because this man did suffer minor injuries from the bison one way or another. They didn't specify that in the story or in the release from the park rangers.
Yeah, I can protect myself for 2 nights.
Here's my thing, Tone, that might change your mind. I did hear a story recently about a dude about Cook County Jail, and he said they be getting it. I said, oh my God.
Are you staying with your choice here?
Yeah. I can protect myself. Let's.
Okay.
2 nights.
All right.
If it was like a month or something, I'm like, come on, give me the bison. Two nights
in jail feels pretty long to me.
It's gonna feel pretty long.
Oh, there's more to the story, but yeah, that's the news. I'll just leave it.
I want to hear what happened to bro, because then that might change Tone's mind. Like, think of the worst case scenario in both cases, then make your decision.
Well, the park rangers didn't release specifics on his minor injuries. They just said he was treated for minor injuries, taken to jail. The man was charged with being under the influence in a national park, disorderly conduct, and approaching and disturbing wildlife. He was with a friend. The friend was driving as they were leaving to go to a different part of the park, I guess, and got pulled over because someone had called this in. The friend was charged with DUI, failing to yield to police, and disturbing the wildlife. And they both pled not guilty in court the next day.
Interesting.
So we're going to see. This could be a long...
All right.
We'll follow up on this if we need to.
This sounds like they pled not guilty. They're going to try to fight it, even though we have the evidence that you were disturbing the wildlife.
Well, we don't have evidence because it sounds like it was just somebody called it in.
But you have injuries.
I don't know if there's video.
But we have injuries.
Maybe these injuries are because I fell into a thistle patch. I don't know.
You were also under the influence. Like, that part's not up for debate.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Tone, are you cool with the snitching?
With the wildlife comes with a huge fine.
Yeah, because they're protected. You're in a national park. I mean, this has got to be federal level here.
Yeah.
Tone, are you cool with snitching? Do we call in this? You see someone out there kicking a bison, you're calling that in?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's okay.
That's fine.
It's like, you're out there drunk kicking a bison?
They can't call the bison, can't call the police or the bison police. You know, like, they need help. Need to be protected.
I also have a really good story about a couple in Florida trying to scam the Florida lottery, but we can get to that next week.
Ooh, I'm kind of interested in that one.
Yeah, that's called.
That's like a McMillions.
Yeah, except really poorly done. They got caught immediately.
Ah, okay. Not like McMillions.
That's the news.
They was getting it off in McMillions.
That was good. That was a really good series.
That was also during COVID.
Is that when that came out? I just saw it last year. I didn't realize that was that old.
McMillions came out that
it was awesome.
It was like post Tiger King Last Dance.
Okay.
And it was just like, oh, damn, they was they was getting it off. Got the FBI involved. Like, that was a good doc. That was a good doc. All right. We'd like to thank everybody out there for listening to this week's episode of Sports Adjacent. Tone, we'd like to thank you for making, carving an hour out of your schedule to come kick it with the boys.
Oh, yeah.
We appreciate you.
Glad to be here.
Jay, I'm going to have you read the Sheets and Giggles.
Yeah. Tony Gill and his occasional wanderings into our show are presented by Sheets and Giggles. You can go to our link, sheetsgiggles.com/SA. And whenever you go on there, whatever sale they're having at whenever you log on, maybe a Mother's Day sale coming up, you'll get an extra discount if you go there with our link. They'll apply it automatically at checkout, sheetsgiggles.com/SA. Sports Jason is also brought to you by BetMGM. You can go to BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app and get this offer. With promo code adjacent1000, your first bet gets paid back in free future betting credits up to $1,500. If you don't win, just use promo code adjacent1000. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks.
Tone, what do you have the score at in Drake Kendrick, and who do you think ultimately wins the flagrant round that is to come?
I think it's 1-0. Like, Drake has been wanting this for a while, and you can tell he put out two tracks. So I think it's tied up at this point. I don't know who's going to win. And I think I don't want to try and guess because I just want to, you know, analyze and enjoy the music that comes from this. But yeah, like, Kendrick isn't as battle tested as Drake is, even though I believe Kendrick is the better rapper. So I think Drake has the upper hand. And I'm kind of rooting for him a little bit because so many people are against him right now. I don't know what he does. That's so.
What if you're a wild boy? That's why so many people are against you.
I need to know the specifics of the wild boyness. That's why I'm interested to see what comes out. Like, if y'all believe he's a wild boy, let's go. Show it. Show me.
I want to preface this by saying I love Drake. Like, I'm a Drake fan, but I think Kendrick has the better record both times. Like, I think Like That is better than either of the tracks that Drake put out. I think Drake trying to get the cease and desist on Like That, that's whack. You lost. And I think Euphoria is a better record than both tracks. Even though I like Push Ups as a song, like, it's bouncy and all that, I think Kendrick has the better song both times. And I also think he had more heat on Euphoria than Drake did in either of his disses.
Yeah, we still haven't heard Jack Harlow weigh in on this.
And with that, we will catch you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey. Be sure to download, subscribe, and give the podcast 5 stars. You can check out the latest episode of Sports Adjacent on all digital streaming platforms.
I'm very much adjacent. For a couple hours, I thought I was hood. But then all that happened, I was like, you know what, James? You adjacent to the mother.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.